Good morning and welcome to Neighbors here on KUMD. It's 10 o'clock. This is 103.3 KUMD, Duluth Public Radio, streaming online at KUMD.org. I am here at least 6 feet away from Chris Harwood, and it's not membership drive. It's something even cooler that we're doing. Normally, if I'm sitting over here, it's something even cooler. This is the first episode of a little something-something we want to call Neighbors here at KUMD. We're going to go to an interview guest this morning in just a moment or two, and we're going to talk about a fundraiser in the community that's raising money hand over fist to provide local healthcare workers with coffee, bakery items, and meals. But it's also an opportunity for you to call in. It's going to sound like a membership drive, but it's not. This is just the phone number, 218-726-7181. Call in and say hi to somebody that you're socially distant from at the moment, that you just want to say, I'm thinking about you. Maybe there's somebody in the community that's doing something marvelous and you want to bring what they're doing to the attention of everybody else. You want to call in and say, hey, you got to hear about so-and-so. They're helping folks out by delivering groceries, or they're helping folks out by doing XYZ. Maybe you've got a concern. Maybe you've got Laura Erickson this morning shared some fabulous coping tips and things that she's doing with some of the extra time that she has. She talked about how she's organized her schedule. A lot of people are trying to create a schedule and impose a little bit of discipline on their work from home thing. Maybe you've got a great tip for how to keep the kids out of your conference calls. Maybe you're having trouble with Zoom, and we've got somebody in the listening audience that can help you troubleshoot your Zoom. We are offering this to our community as an opportunity to help us stay connected during this extremely uncertain and strange time. We're going to begin this morning with a conversation with Sean Flerke. He is a district judge. Sean, are you there, my dear?
I'm there.
I hear you. So you're, well, first of all, it just cracks me up that you're kind of judging from home. I just think that that's really
right.
Funny. And I hope
it's
that your
weird.
Family members surround you and say, don't judge me. Or you're not
yeah,
at work.
I do that all the time. I'm like, hey, it's what I do. What's wrong with judging?
I can't help it. So I got an email from you over the weekend that you, I gather, and some other people started a GoFundMe called Look Out for the Helpers. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm separate from the GoFundMe. I have the privilege of not fundraising, but it's an idea that you know, John Resnick with the Rambler. He runs the Rambler food truck, and we were having coffee the Friday before this all kind of started shutting down and saying, what can we do? And I spent the first few days of the shutdown, you know, kind of in a funk. And I woke up last Thursday morning. I thought, time to do something, time to find agency and find something we can do. So I called Johnny back. He had mentioned, hey, we should help healthcare workers because they're going to be the hardest hit. And I said, you know, you got sandwiches and food. And he was working with Shannon from Yellow Bike, Shannon Cornelius, already. And I said, I know, you know, all the medical folks. I've got connections with St. Luke's, Essentia, Duluth Family. I've got connections with Detox, with CADT, with CARE. I thought, what if we just start making food and taking it to healthcare workers, just giving them free food?
Nice.
And it felt really strong, you know, because they're going to need our help. You read, I've got friends in Italy, you know that, and I'm hearing all that's going on over there. These guys are going to need a ton of help. And I get it. They need masks and ventilators and stuff more than they, but having them know that the community is behind them and having them know that the community is sending them food and coffee and scones and lunches and stuff like that seemed like a real kind of win-win idea, you know?
It's part of, don't you think it's kind of part of developing this kind of an attitude in the community where we start thinking about, we are looking out for each other, and how can we help
right.
people, and what do people need? You know, we're
right.
trying to, we're supposed to be doing a pledge drive here at KUMD, and we said, Nah, no, this is not the time to be doing that. Exactly. So we read the room and we said, no, not the time to do that. So we're kind of using those messages that we had been using to encourage people to support the radio station and saying, you know, please do that, of course. But while you're at it, here are some other community organizations that can really use some help. So you get this brainstorm over the, you know, basically over the weekend, and you get the GoFundMe get set up and the webpage and whatever. It's called Look Out for the Helpers, and this gets all set up.
Look Out for the Helpers.
And then you go, all right, well, let's raise 10 grand. That'll get us started. And when I checked this morning, you were at 14.
Yeah, people are giving like crazy and want to be involved. And right now, they're going out and doing our fifth delivery already. We've delivered to St. Luke's, Duluth Family, Essentia, the main fire hall, and now they're taking a delivery up to Beehive, which is up on Trinity, a senior care center. So, I mean, it's going awful fast. And you know the origin of the quote. It's Fred Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in trouble, look out for helpers.
His mother used to tell him that because he would be... It's a quote that I think has changed a lot of people's lives because it is so easy to get panicky and become afraid. And he was a little boy watching these things unfold on television, and his mother said, whenever there is a crisis or a tragedy, look for the helpers. You will always find people helping.
Yeah, and we changed it to look out for the helpers because we know that the healthcare workers are the helpers right now and coming. And we thought, well, let's look out for them a little bit. Let's give them hope. I have a friend who's a doc over in Little Falls. She's living in a camper until this is done so that she doesn't expose her kids or potentially expose her kids. Anything we can do to help folks who are on those kind of front lines, let's do it.
Wow. That's incredible. So we're asking members of the listening audience, we're going to talk with Sean about this just a little bit more, but if you're in the listening audience and if you can think of a group maybe that needs some help, got some ideas about some sort of help that could be offered, we'd like to talk about that. We'd like to talk about a group that... maybe we haven't thought of. It's cool. There's a Grand Rapids, Timberlake Lodge in Grand Rapids is offering free coffee for all healthcare workers, truck drivers, law enforcement, and first responders. So communities really are trying to acknowledge the work of these folks that, you know, they probably watch these conversations happening online about working from home and they're like, ha. Ha, ha.
Right.
That is absolutely not happening. Sean, one of the things that I have wondered about, you're a guy who thinks deeply about stuff. Tell me what you think about this. One of the things that I've wondered about is frequently when there are crises, we start worrying about how this is going to be impacting people that I guess I think of in the upper echelons of society. What's this going to do to the stock market? And what's this going to do to world economies? And what's this going to do, what effect is this going to have on world leadership? What I see happening here with the COVID-19 situation is people that are at the other end of the spectrum are saying, I need reliable internet. We had a story this morning on National Native News about reservations saying, you know, we've been talking to you people for decades about how we need high-speed internet in rural areas because there are people on reservations and in rural areas, even here in Minnesota, that don't have reliable internet.
Mm-hmm.
And folks that need to work from home and they need to have these resources available to them. And it almost seems as though... You know, our grocery store workers are essential employees. They're critical employees.
Yes. Yes.
It seems like we're kind of getting a better, maybe a more realistic perspective about who's really contributing what and what we need to change. I bet that's occurred to you too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. One example, all recovery meetings, you know, AA, Celebrate Recovery, Health Realization, they've all gone online. They've had to. Well, if you don't have internet access, if you don't have some connection, you can't get into that, and that's horrifying. I mean, yeah, I think
and
you're
frequently,
right. I was up at Cubs the other day, and I made sure I thanked everybody working there. You know, it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you.
But when you talk about communities of recovery, and I'm thinking about a mental health support group that I mm-hmm. go to, mm-hmm. frequently you're dealing with folks whose illness has created such an upheaval in their lives mm-hmm. that they don't have a lot of money. And
probably
they've got a smartphone, but they may not have internet at home. They may not have, a fancy computer. They may not have all of these things. And how do they? The library picked up a lot of slack for folks maybe that didn't have a computer. The library is not an option now. So how do you make these supportive services available to people if they, you know, you want someone who's in recovery, obviously. You want them to be going to their meetings, especially in your case, if it's court ordered. You want them to be able to go to meetings. But how are you going to do that if they don't have what they need in order to make this happen?
Right. And my thinking, you know, the 1% is always going to be taken care of. They're going to take care of themselves. And I'm not dismissing. Economy matters. It matters huge, right? But on the level, it's taking care of people. And there are a lot of vulnerable people in our community. I mean, we're texting around trying to figure out how to get one of our guys diapers for his baby. You know,
okay.
He's out of work. He can't drive. What are we going to do? You know, and I think that's one of the beautiful pieces of Duluth to me is that, people stand up and look around and figure, how can I help my neighbor? I mean, I travel all over the place, and I always love coming back because that's what Duluth is about. People are, how do I help? Who do I help? What do I do? What can I do? Shake off the overwhelmed feeling and figure out who you can help.
And the nice thing about a community this size, even though I suppose if you didn't have a community this size, you could make it a neighborhood. But the nice thing about a community this size is that you really can make a difference. You can raise $14,000 and you can feed a bunch of healthcare workers. You can bring them a little something. You can bring them a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
Getting back
and
to your
a little bit of hope.
Exactly, and a little. Sometimes it's just the appreciation, just the acknowledgement.
Right.
That
right.
what you're right. going through right now is hard, and we're, you know, we want to be there. We want to help you. It sounds like we've got a call on the other line. Oh, we've got, we've got some, we're working out all of our technical bugs this morning. And I said, Sean, you got to just be ready for anything this morning. There are a couple
That's
of
awesome.
Fabulous places on social media, and we're, of course, looking for your recommendations. But there are some fabulous options here online, if you have access to such a thing. Virtual Duluth has got a whole list of all of these different online sources of entertainment. And one of them that I just had to remark to myself about is Tractor Talk with Truman. That's Annie Dugan and Janicki Fisher Merritt's five-year-old, I think. He is the third-generation food farmer. And I think he's five, and he's talking tractors with folks online. So we have that. And there's also COVID-19 Watch Duluth. And there's a lot of interesting conversations going on that website. And we'll be talking about some of those conversations a little bit more coming up this morning. Sean, we're set here. We're going to make sure that we have a link for your page and your Lookout for the Helpers page. Again, if folks have ideas about things that helpers could use, we want to hear that. If you've got ideas about different organizations or groups or people that are unsung heroes right now, we want to hear about that. We want to hear about your coping tips, and we want to hear about how you can get some poor guy diapers. So give us a call this morning at 726-7181. Join the conversation, 726-7181. Sean, thanks a gazillion for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Sean Flerke, our guest, our first guest here on our Neighbors program here on KUMD. We're hoping that we can bring you this program a couple of times a week, share resources, share ideas, share shout-outs to people that you want to talk to. Maybe you've got somebody in a nursing home that you haven't been able to go and see in person, and you want to just say, hi, Grandma, I love you. Maybe you haven't been out to see your mom in Western Minnesota, and she doesn't listen to KUMD, but if she did, you'd say, I love you, Mom, I miss you. Whatever it might be, we want to hear your coping tips. We want to find out how you got your Zoom meetings to work. These are all things that we want your input on. We have a phone call. We've got our station manager, Christine. Oh, boy. Chris, do you suppose she found out we were doing this show? Hey, Christine, surprise.
Hey, Lisa.
We decided to do a show. We said, we got a barn. Let's do a show.
I think I heard something about that.
I think you did, as a matter of fact. So what's going on over there in the House of Cats?
Well, so I figured since this is the first show, I kind of want to, I want people to feel comfortable calling in. And so I'm doing it, you know, because sometimes we're Minnesotans, we're a little bit shy, and it might take us a while to start participating. So I figured I would get that ball rolling and call in, and also I am at home. I'm working at home as much as I can, as most people are at this time. So when I'm not on the air, I'm sitting on my couch, and I miss being on the radio. So let's face it, I just needed to, you know, be on the radio with you this morning.
Lisa. Okay, well, that's okay. That's okay. You're the only one of all of the people who work here that gets excited and pumped up when you get to come in, for example, during a membership drive for the early shift. You're the only one who gets excited about it. You don't like it on the long, over the long haul, but once every 6 months, you're like, yay!
So my favorite hat that I wear at KUMD is the music director. And so I kind of wanted to jump in, and Sean's interview was wonderful and amazing. And this is a little bit lighter. This is more about just how we entertain ourselves while we are working from home, while we're stuck in the house. And you had already mentioned Virtual Duluth, which is a wonderful resource, so that's fantastic. And I've found a lot of shows there. So it's been really interesting to watch how musicians adapt. So many musicians have had to cancel their tours, and they're scrambling to figure out, how do I make up that income? I know Galen Lee is one of those artists. Well, they're figuring out how to do online things. And so I've been kind of, it's really hard, Lisa. It's because it's kind of like there's so much going on all the time and you don't want to miss something really cool. So
fear of missing out, Christine.
What?
It's fear of missing out.
Exactly.
You have FOMO is what you have.
Yeah. So far, there's been so much going on, and I'm trying to catch a little bit of this. It almost actually feels like the Homegrown Music Festival, because that's exactly what happened. There's so many things going on, and you're trying to catch a whole bunch of different stuff. So it almost feels that same kind of vibe of like, oh, my gosh, I got to check this out for a few songs. I got to check that out. But I just want to mention a few cool things that have been going on. And Virtual Duluth on Facebook, they've created a really wonderful group there that's gathering all this stuff. But so far, the Embassy, which is a fairly newish venue in Lincoln Park, has been doing some very cool shows. They have been doing them to raise money for various organizations. There was a cool show with Alan Sparhawk, Mississippi Mike, and Actual Wolf. There was Jacob Mann. Dance Attic, they've been doing things out of their sauna.
Okay, that could be too much information. Is this audio and video?
It is, yes. Yep.
Out of the sauna. Well, let's just, yeah. And the PG-13 rating is maintained at all times during the video?
Yes.
Okay, all right,
This band is just, beyond, yes, they are
all right, got
very
it.
Wholesome.
Got
well,
it.
They're like 99% wholesome.
Okay.
There might be a little entendre in there once in a while, but mostly they are pretty wholesome.
All right, that's
and adorable. So Dance Attic is another group that's been doing a lot of stuff. As I mentioned, Galen Lee, she had a show over the weekend. She's doing it out of her house or out of her apartment. It's very charming. The dog was involved. There were joke breaks.
Nice.
So we got to hear some jokes. Yeah. So that was pretty delightful. On a non-local scale, so here's something that's been that I kind of stumbled across. Jeff Tweedy of the band Wilco, who was just in town, like I don't know if they went straight from Duluth to quarantine, I'm not sure, but
They're still
close.
In their bus, no doubt. They're all in the bus, and the bus driver does get to take them from place to place a little bit so that they get out, but they're all in the bus, no doubt.
So they're entertained. So he and his family, his wife has an Instagram account that's called Stuff in Our House, and she collects a lot of vintage stuff, and so she will usually just be posting, like, really cool vintage things that they've collected, which is fun. So I started following it because of that. Well, lately, they've started just doing the Tweety show, and then, you know, every night at a certain time, I'm not sure if there's a set time, might be 7 or 8, I just happen to be in there, and I see it's live, and so I'm like, oh, well, let's see what the Tweeties are up to. So the Tweety family, and it's Jeff and his wife, I think Susie is her name, and then they have two sons, and they just hang out, and they sometimes play some songs, and they sometimes have celebrity guests.
Oh, fun! Well,
once they did, Jeff, I think, Jeff, what is that actor's name? Jeff Garland, I think? Yeah, so if you've ever wanted to just get a peek into the life of Jeff Tweedy, they're just kind of doing this as just a way to reach out to people during this time and entertain people, and it's pretty entertaining. And
if you've
much going on.
If you've got an online form of entertainment that really appeals to you, something that you have discovered that you really enjoy, we want to hear from you this morning. Give us a jingle. We'll pass it on. 218-726-7181. 726-7181 is the number to call, and we're inviting you to call in this morning. Maybe you have questions or concerns right now in this time, and we probably aren't going to be able to answer those, but we are going to be able to pass them along, we hope, to the people who can. So give us a jingle this morning. If you have discovered a wonderful way to pass some of the time and structure your life as we go into week 2 of the new normal for the time being. Christine, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know that you are also an avid gardener, but of course, despite what Tom Casper says, we really can't get started gardening quite yet, can we?
Well, we can start seeds. So there's that, which thank you for reminding me. I have not gotten to that yet, but I have the stuff. I have the things. I just have to clean the trays and then, but yes, you can start seeds right now, and that would be a lovely way to do it. I just want to give a shout out to one more local group that's been doing some fun stuff. Liz Yakala and her family, the Indian Headband is the name of their
band. My gosh. I saw, I navigated past their post this morning, and I saw this whole crowd of like a family sitting on a couch. They were all beaming, and I was like, oh, I wish I had time to figure out what these people are up to, because it looked like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's almost like the local version of the Tweety family. They're just hanging out, having fun, playing music. One time, and they've done several of these, one time they all dressed up as a Frozen character, which was adorable. So there's just, it's really uplifting to see how people are connecting with each other, reaching out to each other, providing entertainment for other people during this time. So thanks to everybody who's doing those virtual shows. Again, Virtual Duluth is a great place to find local stuff in that vein.
Well, I'm thinking that we need to see, what I'd really like to see is the Harwood family. Rebecca Katz Harwood, of course, is a choreographer here at UMD, and she's choreographing from home and teaching dance from home. And that's got to be, I mean, we could just have a conversation with her about how you do that. Robert Harwood at one point did bring an entire classroom to a halt with a stunning show tune rendition, if I'm recalling. I think it was preschool or kindergarten at the time.
It was the folk song John Henry.
Ah, yes. And he brought the entire classroom to a halt. He was standing on a little bridge in the classroom, preschool, kindergarten, and he stood at the apex of the bridge. He belted the song, and then he took a nice bow. It was a beautiful moment.
Chris Harwood here breaking, and I just want to say I saw a couple of friends of mine. She's a cantor at a synagogue out in L.A., and she and the music group, they actually did a virtual thing, four of them from four different locations, all kind of streaming it together with harmonies and the whole
thing.
Was
that the L.A.? Was that the one that the kids, they sang Over the Rainbow?
No, this is something else.
This is okay, because that was a... that was a feat of technological prowess, and only kids could have figured out how to get like 12 people on a screen at once.
But it is
really lovely. Beautiful. Yeah,
it's lovely how a lot of the churches in the region, actually around the world, the country, I know for sure, but certainly around Duluth, have of course had to shutter their doors, but are not. You know, it's that old thing they used to say in a lot of Sunday schools, the church is, it's the people.
Right.
It's not the building. And so they are creating virtual services online on Facebook and wherever, however they can, YouTube and things like that. And it's really great to see how people are becoming creative,
yes,
finding new ways to connect. It seems very sci-fi-ish that we're all sort of communicating through computers and not face-to-face anymore. But it's real, and it's something we're figuring out.
Well, if we had been doing this in 1915... you know, yes, there is rampant misinformation that is being disseminated, but it would have been worse in 1915 because you would have had to wait for your national newspaper or for the national news to make its way to your local newspaper. And then everybody is just maybe huddling around talking, you know, and gossiping because it would have taken so long to communicate accurate information. Mm-hmm. And we would not have had the options that we have now for asking for help, for keeping people alive, for communicating useful information. How long would it have taken for information to get from Italy to America? Oh, by the way, this is how you need to handle, you know, this new flu. So we've got... go ahead.
So I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was thinking when you mentioned online dance classes, it was reminding me that in Virtual Duluth, not only are there music things, but there are yoga studios. There are Zoom. People are doing Zumba online. So those folks are also having to shut their doors right now, in person yoga and exercise and all of those things. And so they're being creative. I personally did a great yoga class online myself just on Sunday. And then you can, you know, tip the person and, you know,
nice,
do one of the, you know, PayPal or Venmo or one of those things. So it's another way that we can all stay connected and support those people that are losing some income right now. So,
and there, of course, we're talking about ordering from restaurants locally that have moved to the delivery or the curbside pickup model. As of yet, I don't know anything about. If somebody does, please call 726-7181, because I want to learn about this. I don't know at the moment of anyone that is doing any kind of an organized effort for musicians. I know that there is some money available out there for artists who are showing at galleries, and the galleries are shut down, or they had a show scheduled to go up and the show is shut down and they're not able to go ahead and perform. Of course, there's actors. We have some paid actors here in our community. Not a lot, but we have some. And I'm not aware of what is being done for musicians in particular. So if there is either that's something that you could start, like we talked with Sean this morning about, you know, wondering how can we help? And the idea was, okay, well, we'll send some food over to the healthcare workers, and they've got that started. We'll have some links, by the way, set up to all this on our webpage. So that's something. But maybe there is something out there that's helping musicians out in this tough time. And if there is, we'd like to hear about it. So give us a jingle. Let us know. And we definitely would like to hear from you on that. And Christine, of course, you're so intimately tied into the local music scene. You'll probably find out about it first. And I'm counting on you to share it with the rest of us.
All right.
Well, it is
10:28,
and this is Neighbors here on KUMD. We're going to give this a whirl to try to help us stay connected to one another, to give you the opportunity not only to listen to a conversation, but to be part of a conversation. Share your tips. Share the good things that are going on in the community. Share the things that you're concerned about. If you've got an issue, maybe you're like the guy that Sean was talking about this morning. You can't drive right now and you need diapers. Is there anybody available who is delivering? Share some of this common wisdom with folks. not everybody does have access to a computer, especially now that the libraries are closed.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it may come down to just good neighborliness. Don't worry about the person across town who needs the diapers. Maybe your neighbor just on the other side of the fence. You can talk through the fence, I think, without transmitting anything, you know, 6 feet away and all
that.
Yeah. Just say, hey, how are you doing? Check in with your nearest neighbors. See how they're doing. See if there's something they need. Boy, you know, our car's out of gas. We need somebody to go get milk for the kids. Could you perhaps, if you're walking by the store, you get us a half gallon on your way?
Right.
Something like, just check and see how they're doing, especially if you have elderly neighbors who are really probably feeling much more isolated now because they've been identified correctly as an at-risk group. Maybe they need some supplies brought in. Maybe they just need somebody to even check and say, hey, how you feeling? How you doing? It's the nearest neighbors. It's that the quadrant. You know, they have that thing where you create a tic-tac-toe board.
Right.
Put yourself, your house, in the middle of the board, and who are the ones in each direction, each cardinal direction, and just check on those people, see how they're doing. If you've got their phone number or can even knock on their door and stand down on the sidewalk away from the front door and say, just wanted to check in and say hi. Great thing to do.
My mom is 88, and she does not drive very often anymore. She does not have any family right now in town. Her goofy kids, well, I'm here, and my sister's in the cities. And now, suddenly, we are thinking about older people, and we are thinking about people that are shut-ins in the sense that, you know, in the current circumstance, my mom is doing exactly everything she ought to be doing. But by the same token, here is a wonderful opportunity now that we're thinking of our older people, we're thinking more of our elders, to call them up and visit a little bit, say hi. Maybe if you have the opportunity and you can do so, get them set up with some technology, get them set up with FaceTime on their computer or on their phone. And now that we're thinking about it, maybe we can reconnect with some of these people that maybe we've just been too busy. This mandated slowdown. Larry Weber talks about this all the time when he talks about snow days and the importance of just slowing down.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of goodies that you can do. We want to find out what you are accomplishing. What are you accomplishing in this time? You're working from home, yeah, but what else are you doing? Are you reconnecting with family? Are you taking some great hikes by yourself? Are you cleaning closets that you have not touched and you promised yourself you were going to get those closets cleaned?
Right.
How are you doing? We'll check in again on Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. It'll be Neighbors here on KUMD for about a half hour or so. Jot down the number, have it handy so you can call in 218-726-7181.